So I'll call the June 6th Bucksport Planning Board meeting to order. Roll call.
James Morrison.
Yes.
Brian McDonald.
Here.
David Grant is absent. Steve Fite.
Present.
Edward Belcher.
Here.
George Hanson is absent. Christopher Johnson.
Here.
Review and acceptance of minutes of the May 23rd special meeting. Anybody have any issues?
Mr. Chairman, I want to just note that I appreciate the comments that I brought up about the Silver Lake Catholic Cemetery issue still being meeting work. Because I can't find what I'm looking for here. I can't remember how it was defined. Find it here in a second. I just wanted to note that it was, well, I won't find it now, so I apologize for the delay. I will make a motion to accept the minutes as read, as written.
Second.
Motion second. Any discussion? All in favor? There is no chair report. Code enforcement officers report.
The answer is just arriving now. Get a chance to come in and settle in. We just did the minutes, George. Now we're up to the code officer report. excuse me. The moratorium on retail marijuana establishments, there's a proposal to extend that moratorium. It's going to be taken up by the town council. It'll be introduced to the town council Thursday night, and a public hearing will be held on the 29th, presumably after which the council will adopt and approve that extension for another 180 days. Even though the ordinance amendment we're going to take up tonight will avoid the need for moratorium, it won't become effective until after the existing moratorium expires. It expires at the end of this month. So that's why it will be extended. The Economic Development Committee meeting will be meeting on the 13th at 5 o'clock right here in the council chambers if you're interested in attending.
What's that?
Economic Development Committee. They meet They meet once a month, usually.
The 13th, you said?
Yes.
June?
Yes.
What time is it?
5 o'clock. The Road and Street Committee will be meeting this Thursday. Don't ask me the time. I can't recall what the time it is. It's on the website. The purpose of that meeting is to discuss a request from a business owner on Main Street to add more parking. If any of you know where 119 Main is, that's where Lewis and Mom has relocated. Mm-hmm. Right across the street, there's a shoulder. It's a striped shoulder. It's about 8 feet wide. It's wide enough for a parking space. And they've asked if parking spaces could be added there. I think there's enough room for 4 spaces. We had drawn up a plan for 5 and submitted it to the DOT for their preliminary review. They are okay with that, but they suggested that the parking spaces be extended. We showed them as 20 feet long. They say 20 feet is okay for end spaces, but spaces in the middle should be 25 feet to accommodate larger vehicles like pickup trucks, give enough moving space. So that will require the elimination of one of the parking spaces. So there'll be 4 parking spaces considered by the Roads and Street Committee on Thursday. The pre-bid meeting for the Wilson Hall RFP is going to be held tomorrow here in the council chambers at 1 p.m. I'm hoping for a good turnout, although I'm not really sure if we'll have one, but whoever comes will have an opportunity to take a tour of the building and see for themselves what needs to be done to save it. That's at 1 o'clock here tomorrow. And the last thing I will update you on is there's an environmental study being conducted right now that DEP has requested. It's a phase one and phase two study for the Miles Lane well contamination. The daycare has a well there that was contaminated by a poisonous chemical, TCE, trichloroethylene. It's a degreasing agent. And they have been searching for the source of that for months. They did sampling in surrounding wells, including wells on Miles Lane and Spruce Street. Didn't find a trace of it in those wells. It's a mystery. So what DEP decided to do is to hire a consultant to do an environmental study. And that's underway right now.
So you said the other wells in the area aren't contaminated, but the one at...
That's where they found it, in the Miles Lane well. They are connected to public water now, so the risk of harm to any children is over.
So that must still be in the aquifer, though.
Well, they can't identify the source of it. That's what they're trying to do, is find out where this has come from. So they're still working on doing that.
And that substance was?
It's TCE, it's trichloroethylene.
They used to use it all the time in the printing. It's a cleaning agent. It's used a lot. It's a solvent. It's used for degreasing.
Yeah. Well, hasn't that child care center been hooked up to town water when the water main went up to the middle school?
I'm not sure exactly when it was done. It probably about the same time. That's all I have, Mr. Chair.
All right. At this time, I'll open the limited public forum for the members of the public to address the board on matters related to land use or planning in the town of Bucksport, not related to anything on the agenda tonight. I don't see anyone wishing to speak, so I'll close the limited public forum. Unfinished business, none. New business, none. Administrative business. Proposed shoreland amendments to Appendix K, Land Use Ordinance, second review.
Mr. Chairman, I put this on the agenda because even though the board had no concerns at all or didn't want to make any changes to it, I put it on the agenda for this meeting because after the last month's meeting, I submitted this to DEP for their review and comments, and they were able to do that and get back to me just yesterday. And they have no concerns. I suspect probably they're going to approve the changes as submitted, but they did point out one thing with the proposed map, and I'll hand this around to you. It wasn't very clear. As a matter of fact, there was a mistake made. It made reference to the zone change going from DT to Route 1 Shoreland, but actually it's DTS to Route 1 Shoreland. So we corrected that and better depicted the boundaries of the shoreland zone on the map. You'll see when you get a copy. This will be the map that will be reviewed at the public hearing. So you can see the two lots, the Rite Aid and the Hannaford lot, are currently in the DTS district, and those are going to be changed to the Route 1 Shoreland. But you can also now see that the Shoreland district actually crosses over Route 1 and goes on to the Ledbetter's lot, as well as Woods lot, and the lot to the left. It slices through those lots. So,
why does it slice through the lots?
And why is it curved like that?
Well, because it follows the contour of the shoreline.
Okay.
You see it does over.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Tannery Brook side, too.
Yeah.
So, again, it follows the contour of the shoreline evenly, a distance evenly back from the shoreline. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. This is just a depiction of the boundary. If there's a question about exactly where the boundary is, you have to get out there and measure on the face of the earth.
Is that based on the floodplain, the flood zone? So many 100, 500 years or something?
No. In some cases, yes, it does follow flood boundaries, but more often than not, if it just follows the normal high water line
Okay.
of the water body. Then you go, and then you go 250 feet inland from there to find the back edge of it.
So the irony of it all is that
Irving and Hannaford will be in DTS now.
That our T1S just by chance goes right down the middle of Route 1. It doesn't cross over there at all from that point on.
Right, because in the Route 1 Shoreland District is deeper than 250 feet. The old map, well, right in front of it, you can't really see, but the area of land between Route 1 and the shoreline is more than 250 feet. So the old map showed the 250-foot boundary, and that left a narrow strip of land that was put into another district. What we decided to do, what the ordinance committee and council decided to do, is put it all in one district, just to be, for simplicity's sake, just to call it one district. You still have the shoreline regulations that apply within that 250-foot boundary, but it's just one district we're talking about rather than two.
Does the these lots here to the right of the Ledbetters, the two lots where it intersects, and now those homeowners now live in a C1 district as well as an RTS1 district, right?
Yes. Yes.
Would the RTS1 be more restrictive than the C1 in this case?
It's, well, see, the two corner lots are occupied with multifamily.
Right.
And I believe multifamily is an allowed use in the Route 1 shoreland.
What I'm trying to do is hopefully avoid that question down the road and make a decision just to square it off at the Ledbetters. And I know you're following the contour, I get that.
Well, you kind of have to. You can't alter from that.
Not because over that's here it wasn't.
That's a statutory requirement. Yeah. You know, it's 250 feet in from the normal high water line or upland edge of the wetlands, another point of measurement. Yeah, there's no flexibility there. We have to stick to that guideline.
So in a land use on that, that would supersede the C1 land use regulations.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a funky situation where you have a shoreland zone that crosses over a road, and it makes that portion of, say, the Ledbetter lot non-conforming because it has no shore frontage. It's in a shoreland zone, but it has no shore frontage. But that's going away anyway. With our revisions here, there will be no more shorefront requirement for a commercial or non-commercial building. So I don't see it presenting any problems. It's a shoreland zone now. It's in the DTS district now. You know, it's just going to be called a different name.
Yeah.
So when Ledbetters went in, they were in the shoreland district. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't tell exactly. Probably. At least the parking lot, if not the store itself. Part of the store.
It looks like the pump.
We have a couple spots like that on Main Street as well. You can see one to the left there where it crosses over Main Street, and there are a few other spots along Main Street.
Rings is in that area.
The good thing about this is all the lots on Main Street are lots of record. So even if a lot of record doesn't comply with the minimum lot size or minimum frontage requirement, it still can be developed. So I don't see this change posing any problem at all to those lots. So with that, the proposed changes to the shoreline regulations will be taken up. By the way, if you may recall, the last meeting you scheduled a public hearing for the 14th of this month. Well, when I got back in my office the next day and looked at the calendar, I realized that in order to get the public noticing in paper in time for that date, it would have had to have been put in last week's paper, which means that this board would not have seen the proposed marijuana amendments yet. Mm-hmm. We want to hold a public hearing for both these amendments because they're both amendments to Appendix K. So I talked to the chair, and he agreed that we shouldn't hold a public hearing on that date, so we're going to hold it instead on the next regular meeting date in July, unless you want to hold it earlier than that. But before we make that decision, let's go through the marijuana amendments, which is the next item on the administrative business.
Yeah, do you have a copy of that?
The last one. The Shoreland ones?
Yeah.
23rd.
No, this is the Appendix K.
Right. They're both Appendix K. You want a copy of which one?
Well,
is that the one that has a date on it? It's off May 23rd?
I don't think Jordan was at that last meeting.
I wasn't at that meeting.
Okay.
So.
Well, yeah, I just happen to have a copy here.
Good. Probably the one I didn't get.
And do you have a copy of the other amendment, George, the marijuana amendment?
That came with the packet. Or I got that last month, I think. Is that the emergency?
There were samples as well.
I handed it out at the meeting. It wasn't in the packet. Well, maybe it was. Was it in the packet? Yeah, I think it was. Yeah. You didn't get a packet.
Moratorium on marijuana. That's the moratorium, right?
Is this one?
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I didn't get that one either.
All right, so are you ready to start reviewing this?
Please. Page, thank you. Mm-hmm. It's on like page 3 of that.
You all have your copies now? So the purpose of this amendment to Appendix K is to establish retail marijuana establishments and retail marijuana social clubs as prohibited uses in the town of Bucksport. Yeah. And that's because the town council at their May 25th meeting, I think it was.
It was April.
Anyway, at the last month's meeting, they decided to issue a directive to this board to do just that, to propose amendments to Appendix K that will, in effect, prohibit all these uses in the town. So that's what we have here. The first amendment is in the table of land uses, section 9.5, table 9.52. And you'll see where, down near the bottom, second row up, a new land use has been added, which is retail marijuana social clubs. That's an assembly type use where, you know, people gather there, so it's an assembly type use. It fits in that category. And the X's across the board indicate that it's prohibited in every zone in town. So they had to renumber the last row to so that that was properly numbered in sequence. So that's a simple. That was a simple change to make. Page 2. And again, we have another change. It's another land use that's been added, this time under mercantile land uses. And land use is at the very bottom row in the table that was added. It's called retail marijuana stores. And again, X's across the row indicate that it's not allowed anywhere in town. Medical marijuana dispensaries continues to be an allowed use. In a few zones. In most of the zones it's not, but in a few they are currently allowed. Page 3. This time in the production land uses table, you'll see about midway down the table another land use has been added called retail marijuana products manufacturing facilities. That's a type of a production land use. And again, across the board, it's prohibited in every zoning district. Also, you might notice, too, at the top of the table, I've lined out the amendment language. I'm doing that as we have the opportunity to do that. I decided that it didn't make sense to add that language in the middle of the ordinance. Instead, they're at the end of the ordinance, there are notes added that tells you when it was amended, what was amended, and what date. So just to deleting all those. You see on page 4, I did the same thing at the top of that one. And we're under rural land uses now. And two-thirds down, you'll see another new land use called retail marijuana cultivation facilities. And across the board, they're prohibited. Page 5, trade land uses. This time we have retail marijuana testing facilities. And that's also prohibited in every zone district. And that takes care of all the different types of retail marijuana establishments and the social club. Retail marijuana establishments is sort of an umbrella term for all those individual land uses that are in this proposed amendment. So on page 5, we get into some of the language that needs to be changed. And section 13 is a section that has a placeholder for every land use that's in the table of land uses, just in case there's a need to have specific land uses incorporated for them. But you can see in section 13.3 under assembly land uses, retail marijuana social club is just added there. There's no specific standards that have been also proposed for that use. And the reason for that is it's going to be prohibited, so there's no point in having any additional standards. And in 13.16, trade uses, again, this is put in there to establish a placeholder for that land use. And there's some renumbering that had to be done for vehicle services, class 1 and 2 after that, to keep it consistent with the numbering.
This is, I assume this is misprinted. It says 13.6.5, so it must have been, it should have been a 16 rather than a 6.
Oh, yeah.
13, you're right.
Yeah,
typo. Good catch, Jim. Good catch.
Well, you know.
Yeah, it is odd.
I'll fix that.
Eagle eye over there.
Well, this is what we're here for.
Yeah.
That's good.
And the last group of changes in section 20, I added the definitions for all the different types of marijuana establishments in case somebody questions what we mean by that in the table of land uses. These are definitions that come right out of the state law. I think I've missed any. I thought there were just four. There's four individual uses that are covered under the retail marijuana establishments.
Well, there's the first one's on that on page 5, right? I thought there was just 5.
Yeah, there's 5.
1, 2, 3. Six.
So you have cultivation.
Yeah, cultivation.
Manufacturing, yes. Social clubs, store, and testing.
So that covers 5. I know there are 5. It's bad.
Yeah, cultivation.
I think I got them all here.
Yeah, I think you did.
Medical marijuana must have existed before.
Yes.
So other than that one numbering error, are you all happy with this proposed amendment?
Great job. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So do we wait for the public hearing?
Well, you should schedule one to determine when you want to have the public hearing.
I don't recall the last July meeting being very busy.
I'm not aware of any applications coming in for the board to review. So.
July, the last July meeting, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Well, the only thing about July this year is July 4th is the normal time we would be.
Yeah, you're going to have to schedule another day.
We're not doing that.
Do we need to move to approve this final form?
You'll be doing that after you hold the public hearing.
After the meeting, okay.
So should we move the July meeting to the 11th? I don't know what else goes on here on Tuesday nights. But
Monday's is the 4th on a Monday?
Tuesday.
So Tuesday. Yeah. Wednesday is not?
The 5th? That's fine with me.
Okay, everybody okay with the 5th?
July 5th after the 4th.
Okay with me.
Fine with me.
Yeah, actually, it works better for me. The 5th works a lot better than the 11th. The 11th, I've got tons of stuff. Cause I always schedule a planning board. That's a guarantee. But no, the 5th works fine for me. I just got to go walk up a building at 8 o'clock. Other than that, I'm fine.
And would you like to have the public hearing on the 5th as well?
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Changing the meeting as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, the planning board meeting will be changed that date too, or just public hearing?
Planning board.
The meeting was scheduled to be on the 4th, but I don't want to do that.
All right. Okay, so the 5th. Okay.
So I guess the question is, would you rather just have it on July 5th, the public hearing, or have a meeting between now and then to have the public hearing? I don't see any need to.
Considering the reaction we got last time, I can't imagine it's going to be a bigger one this time.
No. And
so we could probably get it done all
I think both of them will be pretty well.
Yep. July 5th.
As far as the shoreline changes, that less than dimensional standards, I'm not aware of any property owner right now that's anxious to have that change done so they can add more apartments in their building. So July 5th, a public hearing, assuming that you, after the public hearing, you recommend approval of those amendments, it will go to the council at their first July meeting.
You're not going to make your
on the 7th?
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to do it with a paper. Unless you're assuming that you can't assume a vote on the 5th and have it for the 7th by posting it in the paper before the vote.
Because they have to have a public hearing as well, exactly. Right?
But not, they wouldn't hold a public hearing on the 7th.
So. No. But they wouldn't be able to have it on their first meeting, right? They wouldn't have time.
I would suggest, I'll talk to the town manager about this, I would suggest that we still put it on the council agenda for the 7th. And if for some reason the board can't make this recommendation on the 5th, then it will be taken up by the council on the 7th. But
well, they'll schedule it on the 7th. They'll schedule it here.
Right, it'll be introduced to the council on the 7th, and I'm hoping they won't refer it to the ordinance committee, but that's their decision. If they do, it's just going to be another month before.
The 5th is the 6th would be their meeting, be the next day.
Oh, that's right. The 7th is a Wednesday, isn't it? Yeah.
It still works.
Yeah, right? I think it's.
I mean, they're not going to do anything but review it and decide whether to have a public meeting, which is.
Right. Then, or, yeah, a public hearing.
Right.
They would make that decision to announce they're going to have a public hearing at that point, which they have, how many days? 7 days or whatever it is?
They'll hold their public hearing. Assuming everything goes according to plan, they'll hold their public hearing at their second meeting in July,
which would be the 20th. I would assume.
And then if they're okay with everything,
is it the last?
The last 30.
It'll be the 27th.
Then
that will give you plenty of time.
If they approve that at that meeting, it'll become effective 30 days later. So it'll be August, end of August, when all this will become effective. But
unless
again,
it goes to the ordinance, which.
Well, if it goes to the ordinance committee, then it'll be
Halloween.
When does the moratorium run out? The present one?
Oh, the present one? On the 29th.
Oh. June.
Yeah, which is their last meeting in of the month, so that's why they're introducing the moratorium ordinance this Thursday and scheduling the public hearing for the 29th.
Okay.
assuming that they'll adopt that. It'll become effective the same day because it's being introduced as an emergency ordinance. Mm-hmm. So it becomes effective immediately after approval.
Yeah. So we're talking about presenting this to them after our meeting on the 5th, and they have to have that in place before that, right?
Right. If all goes as planned, it'll become effective. The extension of the moratorium will become effective on June 29th.
Okay. So this doesn't have to be in place before?
There's no urgency, no.
Okay.
The only thing I was thinking about more if somebody wanted to take advantage of the new shoreline dimensional standards, but I don't know if anybody was waiting to do that.
Another thing, when you post the hearing, we should post the change of the date of the meeting too, right? That's something we should do to make sure everybody is aware that the normal plan board business will also be changed that day to a new time. I don't know if that's a separate posting, but whatever.
Could have it during the fireworks. Oh, that's right. We don't do fireworks. Mm-hmm. Forgot.
Bay Festival.
So are we all in agreement? Meeting on July 5th, public hearing on July 5th?
Yeah, I believe so.
Knock it off.
You're going to miss the pie sale, and Wednesday's on Main. But
come down early.
Yeah.
My daughter's dress. Yeah. Sounds like a plan.
Anything we'd need to discuss?
As it relates to the marijuana issue, is that what you're referring to?
No, I thought we were done with that.
Okay. Anything additional?
Any
other discussion items?
Yeah. Oh, we're at discussion items. No, I was going to present some stuff that I learned at an event I went to a couple, 3 months ago, but I'd like to hold on that. And fortunately, Jeff didn't put it on the agenda, so too embarrassed.
I apologize to my...
No,
forgot.
I wasn't ready. It actually worked out better. It really did. And any news, one of the discussion items, any more news on the forestry violation, whatever you call it out there? And so, like, have you had any news since we met?
The cemetery?
Yeah. Have you contacted, tried to contact them?
Not yet.
Did you get the pictures of berms I sent that they fill with?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I've seen those before.
I've seen
quite
that. Be better than just laying mulch on the ground like they are.
Yeah. Oh, one thing that we might want to discuss is the status of the AIM demolition.
Oh, yeah. Jim had a question about that.
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, there have been a number of people have approached me and asked what is going on there. Why does it appear that they've pulled out? Trains aren't there anymore.
There was a meeting held last week between Jeff McGlynn, town manager, and economic development director. I didn't attend the meeting, but I got a report on it from Rich afterwards, and he explained that the demolition work is done, and which is why the contractor essentially has pulled out. You see very few rail cars there now. I think I saw just one today. I looked over there.
I don't know where it is, but it must be down in the
shed on the side.
Yeah.
Huh. They were dumping stuff in it.
Anyways, I interrupted.
So, the piles, the numerous piles of inert material that you see there, apparently got to stay there for the time being until they find a developer for the site. They'll know better what to do with it, you know, what areas might need to be filled or excavated or piles removed to another location to accommodate the developer. So that's my understanding. There's no plans to.
So that's non-metallic stuff that they couldn't haul off.
It's just crushed
concrete.
Concrete.
I just saw piles. I didn't know what it was.
But there's a section of buildings there that's still standing there.
That's what
the partially supporting the with the bio.
That area concerns me because it's an eyesore from Route 15, and it's an issue that I raised way back before this project started when I met with Jeff McGlynn. I said one thing, and he explained the project. He says some of the buildings will be partially demolished, And I said, well, does that mean there'll be open sides of buildings? He said, yes. And I said, well, you may want to think about your plan to close those in, because they'll be an eyesore. And sure enough, they are an eyesore.
Yeah.
Also, it's a nice habitat for people that need to have a little shelter. And
I have not had a chance to speak with them about any plans to... I don't know if there's further demolition to come with those buildings, or if they've kept those for a specific reason that prevents them from being demolished. I don't know the answer to those questions.
But in that condition, present condition, they're going to need a lot of paint to make them look good.
Who would buy it like that? I mean, I can't imagine. I expect they'd haul it all away.
Well, see, part of it's the development or starting up of the existing power plants. Those come online. That's not really part of the mill.
Yeah.
So, in order to feed the bio generator, big black smokestack, that comes out of the wood yard and over those conveyors. And they can start up the front one with the steel smokestack, short of smokestack. That's natural gas or diesel fuel. So they can run that independently. And the big concrete one's also biofuel. Well, the old black one, that used to be
steam boiler.
That was an oil boiler. But I don't know if that's in use at all.
I don't think so. They mark all the biomass. At one point, Mr. McGlynn, during one of his presentations, said that there was a speculation that if they were able to clear enough buildings away from the entry point along the side of that biomass, they could theoretically deliver product right there and not need all that infrastructure or conveyance and be able to eliminate that as well. Obviously, they haven't got to that point yet, if it is possible, but that was speculation on his part. And by then, again, it's $1 million worth of tax revenue at this point for the town of Bucksport. So that's the other side of the equation. But I do believe they'll be in soon to discuss their evaluation. I really expect that to happen sooner than later.
Did you say $1 million?
So suicide says $1 million in tax revenue that we would lose.
It's $1 million in revenue, not... No, I mean, the valuation is...
Valuation right now is $60 million, and they paid $58 million for the whole mill. So...
Well, yeah.
There it is. Right. So if they take it out, we get hit again.
Yeah.
The town floated a bond for $115 million when they put in the first biofuel coal burner.
Yeah.
A 360-foot concrete smokestack.
Yeah.
That was awful nice of us.
A citizen stopped in my office last week and suggested that the town look at purchasing that strip of land right next to the credit union. It's like a, almost, it has a park-like look to it. It's a nice,
small,
landscape. Yeah. It's between Franklin Street and
Bagley.
Bagley, yeah. He thought it might make a nice public park.
Yes, so. I agree.
That's where the 48-inch, I think it's almost 48-inch water line from the filter house feeds the mill, goes under that.
Goes
under.
Actually, it's down, it's right under Bagley, isn't it? Does it come down through the middle of that? Because they had the break
comes
there.
Through the...
And they had the break there a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And it washed out the end of Bagley Avenue down there.
Yeah.
They were digging through that area. But you're right, it was down through that whole area because it wept a long time before they found out where it was. But.
Just a point of interest, I've just noticed how high the water is at Silver Lake. Is that because no one's controlling anything? At this point, is everything open and flowing?
I've never seen alligator pond that high in my life.
Never seen it like that.
Yeah.
And the little island up there is almost
causeway.
Totally covered.
Yeah.
So that's just rock causeway. So water will flow between the lake and the frog pond and the left.
Yeah, but I mean, the water must be flowing from Alamoosic and Toddy and...
No.
There's no pumping.
Yeah, there's no pumping water except for testing.
Yeah, I myself out to the farm on top of the mountain have quite a few new ponds that I, you know, hadn't really seen before this time of year. You know?
Just the rainfall and
torrential rain.
Yeah. Wow.
Endless rain.
Is there anybody in the town infrastructure that has a written plan that AIM has written up that tells us what they're, where they are? I mean, when Sue Lassard gives her report, she always says, AIM says they're on schedule, just like she says they're on schedule out to the
treatment plant?
Yeah, the plant out here, yeah, whatever you want to call it. It's, but
is that online?
Is it
well online.
Treatment plant.
Does anyone have a proposed written plan for what their schedule is and maybe has some information in it that tells us what they're doing at this point?
I don't know if anything's in writing, but they had been telling us all along they expected to be complete a demolition part by late spring, and last week that's what they said, that they're complete.
Yeah.
There was a chart. Did you see the chart with all the different colors and the stages of which they were going to do the demolition?
Yeah. Yeah,
that out there a year or so ago too.
Yeah, I was here and saw that when he brought that in here.
So they've done the ripping and tearing part. They just haven't done the cleanup yet. I mean, all the scrap. I think all the scrap is gone, but those piles and piles of debris are still there. That's, I think that's part of the cleanup too. That at some point in time they're going
to
deal with that.
Well, didn't they ask to take those piles up to the back number recently?
Wasn't that part of the 14,000 yards
that they were going
to
put up there?
I think they've received approval to do that.
Yeah, they have. It's another
40,000.
Yeah. The other, I don't know if you had a chance to go up and look at the parking lot across the street. There's a pile of scrap in there.
I haven't tested them.
Okay. Well, something's going on there. It doesn't appear to be too active right now, but there is a piece of equipment in there with, I assume, a claw or something on the end. And there was a truck in there the other day. It's not in the main parking lot, but it was, I think, the contractor's parking lot above it.
Yeah, the gravel parking.
They've got the fence opened up and the road going in there. Mm-hmm. It says something like 2800 Main Street or something on the front. Somebody's put a sign on the front of it. There is a pile of scrap on the ground in there. I assume scrap metal. I have no idea where it's coming from, but I thought I'd mention that. And as I mentioned to you the other day, the truck's going through full of scrap that way. I don't know what that means, but I thought that might be there watching too. So who it is or what they're doing there.
Well, apparently they still have some minor cleanup of scrap materials to do. Like I said, I watched them dump some. It looks like it was a load of cables that they dumped into one of the boss cars around noontime today, so they're still doing a little bit of cleanup.
And do we know where they are with the level one and level two analysis of the, have they actually started that? And are you invited to go to those testing sessions?
Or? I have not been, but my understanding, again, I'm hearing this secondhand since I didn't attend that meeting, but my understanding is that there's been some borings done, and that's one of the reasons, I guess, why those piles of material have not been moved, because it might interfere with the testing that's underway there to relocate the material at this point in time. So there's testing underway, that's my understanding. So that means they're in phase two.
Okay. And they're going to be, this is three members, Sue Lassard, the person from the Eastern Maine Development District, or whatever they're called up there. And I assume either Jeff or Glenn or somebody from AIM, and I don't remember, is going to be the committee that's going to get together to interview people to be the directors of the new Brownfield grant. They're going to hire somebody for that position to manage that Brownfield grant, which will include marketing, the $200,000 grant. So there's three of them are going to do that. She announced that at the council meeting, I think, last time. I've been trying to get the information from that committee, but sometimes it's hard, even though I belong to a group that has a member on it. Sometimes even that person is reluctant to let me know for some reason. But anyways, as much as I get of that, I try to post that in those minutes and things up on the line so people can see it.
Did this board express an interest in having a tour of that site?
Yes, we did.
Well, you know, there's a, one of the complicating factors of that is, if you go as a group, it's a public meeting, and the public has to be given a chance to attend. That might be a problem for the owners of that property.
Well, since it's not feasible, couldn't it just be filmed and put on the website? Like a GoPro camera or something? It's really not reasonable to have people just come willy-nilly.
It's like you're doing a presentation. Well, we're going to cite, take pictures.
We did, I think George, maybe you were on the board back then when we did a tour of a quarry.
Gravel pit?
It was a gravel pit. Where was that?
And the public came?
It was John.
No, I'm thinking something else. This is over in Waldo County we went to.
And that was the treatment, the dewatering site we went to.
No, it wasn't dewatering. It was a...
We went to the quarry in...
We had to go in on buses. Remember that?
That was Prospect, wasn't it? Wasn't it the quarry?
I thought it was a quarry we went into.
We went to a quarry that...
Not Ward Wells.
Thibodeau's.
Thibodeau, yes, that's where it was.
Over there.
And for liability reasons, they could not allow us to walk in, and right. There was public and present there, so very few, but there were some public present. So they had buses or vans for us to go in.
And we weren't riding around.
But we couldn't do it all at the same time, which is a problem. They had to break in half. One group go in, come out, and the second group go in. So that wasn't really an ideal situation. It's very difficult when you're going to an area where there are liability issues for, like this site would have, to conduct a site visit.
Expounding on someone's statement about filming and presenting it to the public, can one member of this?
I have a GoPro.
Committee go in and do that and then present it to us? As a,
I can't see that AIM letting that happen. I just can't, especially since it's not a public meeting.
Wouldn't let us do what? Us visit?
No, wouldn't video anything.
When I do it, I just carry the camera in my hand, and it takes a wide angle picture, records sound, and
but most places, like a lot of mills and power plants and things, won't let you take video anyway. Yeah. No camera.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think if it was a public meeting, they couldn't stop it, but since it's not a public meeting, I can't imagine them allowing.
There has to be an exception. I mean, if you're visiting something relatively dangerous, you can't just have people showing up to the demolition site or whatever, you know, a hard hat area.
Well, since no demolition is going on.
It's probably still considered a hard hat area by their insurance company.
I'll talk to Jeff McGlynn, get some feedback from him about the best way to do this. Coincidentally, there's a video on YouTube of a tour that he gave to a student from a school in Sartell, and the demolition was under work in the progress, and they were driving through the site in his pickup truck. The kid was filming it, so it may not be a problem for them to allow somebody to go through and film, but I'll talk to them and let you know next month.
Yeah, and I think Maine Municipal Association would know if that was an option rather than saying, hey, town, come on, we're going to see the demolition site.
Didn't work out so well with Sartell, but that's okay. That's their issue.
Did you see that video?
No, I haven't seen that one, but I know they had a difficult time today, but I got
well,
nasty.
I don't know that it's going to work out very well for us.
What's happening?
If they leave it like that, I don't think that worked out very well.
No, that's not very, very good.
They come and they took what they wanted, and they said to you, Bucksport.
Yeah.
We hope that's wrong.
He has offered me a chance to do a tour of the site at some point, probably right around now, since the demolition is done. I asked him at one point if it would be possible for someone to come on site just to take a look at whether or not there might be any evidence left of the red paint cemetery. And he was agreeable to doing that.
Yeah. Welcome member.
I wonder why they left the gatehouse.
No matter what.
There's a pressure reducing station right next to it, but the gatehouse is...
Yeah.
Get it all boarded up on half of it.
Yeah, that's no value to that. I mean, that's kind of a... eyesore.
We get rid of the north end station. We've got a museum in up in North Bucksport. Somebody bought it and dragged it up there, put it up along Route 15 where that where the trucks used to enter, and the guy was sitting there. That building's up.
The little Bucksport. One?
Yeah. Pretty proud of that.
What museum's this?
No, it just I'm joking. Oh, the guy's okay. Got it up there. It's out at the end of the town farm road. Somebody bought it there and threw it in the backyard.
Oh, really good.
Yeah. And then
that's where the kids wait for the school bus.
That probably
good idea.
And then but the outhouse or whatever it is still up there. Still
in the
woods there on the side. And the other thing is the railroad station. That's what I asked the Historical Society yesterday if they want to get another railroad station. So that brown building there right by the parking lot, the door's open most of the time, you know, and it's empty now. But yeah. Just being a while.
That was just nice crew. That was just a crew house.
Right. Yeah.
Well, can I ask another little question?
Sure.
All right, and just something that kind of bothers me a little bit is, I understand it's our job to do the ordinances and hear the public hearing, but when the council decides what it's going to be, we don't really figure into it at all. We're not deliberating it. We're not doing anything but giving them what they want. Something about that whole thing doesn't seem quite kosher to me. It seems like we don't have any value in this type of thing. Am I off base, or?
I agree.
Well, I think that
we might come to that conclusion, but
they
we
do
don't
that with
get a
all
chance
of
to
any
deliberate.
Change that we make, they have the final approval of a lot of the work that we do, and it. You know, at their meeting, it didn't, and everybody was there except for you. What I remember is, you know, Paul Govan was real quick to say no, and a couple of the people didn't say much until they got it, you know, more involved. But I don't know what, I mean, we can come up with an ordinance that, you know, puts it here, there, or everywhere else, but they're just going to shoot it down. So I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but I don't know that we'd... I think that would be a waste of our time.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I just feel like I'm a rubber stamp. I don't feel any value in it. And I just...
We had an exercise in the pros and cons and what mean and turn around and.
Are you referring to the marijuana amendment, George, specifically?
Yeah. Well, kind of, yeah, because I don't think any other ordinances we've worked on have we been told what the outcome's going to be.
Like
which we were in this case. I mean, it doesn't even seem like it makes any sense for us to even be involved.
Well,
if that's what the case is.
I think we went there asking for their input to help us do our part. And their input was, we don't want it.
Well, I think I agree with you. I think we went there to see if there was any sense for us to do anything.
Right.
Was kind of what I was feeling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And since they said... don't do anything, I guess I'm wondering why we're doing anything.
Well, we have to do our
work. You know, I think about it more times. If you remember, after you held your public hearing, you decided that these uses shouldn't be prohibited. You took a vote on it. There was a motion made to ban all these uses, and the motion failed. That's when you decided, well, then now what do we go ahead and start working on an ordinance? And the question came up, well, if we do that, spend time doing that, what's the council going to do?
I believe it was Chris that said, if we work on this and put the time and effort into this, and then we go there and they just plain ban everything, and, you know, we essentially wasted the time. And I feel it the same way Chris does. It would be a waste of time if we tried to pursue this. I mean, I have a lot of opinions different than what the outcome of this turned out to be, but without the support of the council, it would be senseless to...
Yeah,
to
just wasted time.
Yeah. Well, we're going through the process and holding another public hearing because we're supposed to. Mm-hmm.